Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, June the 4th, Sudan's military rulers call for snap elections after a bloody Monday in which scores of protesters were killed. The Archbishop of Dublin condemns the levels of violence in the Irish capital, and Cardinal Marco Ouellet of Canada travels to France to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the Allied landings in Normandy. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Sudan's ruling military council called for snap elections within 9 months today, breaking its accord with the main opposition coalition. The move came a day after troops carried out a brutal crackdown on a protest camp in the capital, Khartoum. Devon Watkins has the details.
Streets in the Sudanese capital Khartoum were deathly quiet on Tuesday, one day after security forces brutally dispersed demonstrators participating in a months-long sit-in. Protest organizers say at least 35 people died in Monday's crackdown. After clearing the camp outside the military headquarters, the Transitional Military Council, or TMC, broke its accord with opposition groups, calling snap elections. The Sudanese Professionals Association, the main protest organizers, had called for a longer transition period, with elections to be held in 3 years. The group accused the military of perpetrating a massacre as it broke up the camp on Monday. A spokesman for the TMC said troops were in pursuit of unruly elements who had fled the protest site. Reports emerged of security forces entering a hospital in Khartoum and shooting fleeing protesters. The United Nations has strongly condemned the crackdown. Stefan Dujarric is the spokesman for the Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
He condemns the use of force to disperse the protesters at the sit-in site, and he is alarmed by reports that security forces have opened fire inside medical facilities. He urges all parties to act with the utmost restraint. This includes responsibility for upholding the human rights of all citizens, including the right of freedom of assembly and of expression.
The head of the military council, General Abdel Fattah Burhan, said Tuesday that the military would form an interim government to prepare for elections. Protest organizers quickly denounced the snap poll, saying the council had proven that they are a military coup. Unrest has rocked Sudan since December, when rising bread prices and food shortages sparked sustained protests, which resulted in the armed forces removing President Omar al-Bashir in April. Cut off from the center of Khartoum after Monday's violence, protesters were reportedly seen building barricades in the suburbs as they prepare to dig in their heels. I'm Devon Watkins.
In Libya, four members of Lebanon's security forces were killed in an attack that took place in the embattled capital city of Tripoli. A lone gunman reportedly shot them down on Monday night before blowing himself up. The two police officers and two soldiers died after the man fired at a bank, a police station, and an army vehicle. He detonated an explosive vest after being surrounded in a flat by troops. No group has said it was behind the attack, but the gunman is reported to have been a member of the so-called Islamic State group. A leading aid agency is warning that around 75% of Rohingya babies are born in unsafe and unhygienic makeshift shelters. This means hundreds of mothers and their newborns in the refugee camps may die this year if they are denied of proper maternal health care. Sister Carmelan reports.
A new report drawn up by the international charity Save the Children says hundreds of mothers and babies in camps for Rohingya refugees could die this year of entirely preventable causes if mothers do not get proper maternal health care. The data gathered by the charity's primary health care center from July 2018 to April 2019 shows that of the expected 400 births in a community of some 20,000 people, only 119 babies were safely delivered in properly equipped health facilities, with the remaining births taking place in bamboo shelters and makeshift homes. These are conditions, the report points out, that put the lives of both mother and baby at great risk. Save the Children's assessment comes as the United Nations released new data from the Rohingya camps, which estimates that for every 100,000 live births, 179 mothers die from preventable causes related to pregnancy and childbirth. That's almost 2.5 times higher than the worldwide target for maternal mortality of under 70 per 100,000 live births. The reports also found that some families in the refugee camps do not seek service from any healthcare centers as they fear sterilization or infanticide that they allegedly faced in Myanmar. I'm Sister Carmelan.
Mexico has warned the U.S. president that tariffs on Mexican goods could worsen illegal immigration to the U.S. and end up hurting both countries. The warning came as Donald Trump tweeted that Mexico should stop the flow of people and drugs across the border if they want. Mexican and U.S. officials, meanwhile, are in talks while the president is in the U.K. He has said he plans to impose a 5% duty on all Mexican goods from next week. The tariff would then rise by 5% every month until it reached 25% in October. This if Mexico does not act to halt migrants coming across the southern border. And in Australia, at least 4 people have reportedly been shot dead by a gunman in Darwin in the north of the country. Eyewitnesses reportedly said the gunman entered a motel in an inner suburb of the city and opened fire in a number of rooms before fleeing. Police responded and arrested the man an hour later. Police say they believe the man had acted alone and they were not looking for any other suspects. On Wednesday, June the 5th, that's tomorrow, people across the world mark World Environment Day. One of the hardest challenges our world faces in its efforts to heal a suffering planet is air pollution. Air pollution, in fact, is the greatest environmental threat to health, causing 7 million premature deaths per year. Tai Chung, an official at the United Nations Environmental Programme's Climate and Clean Air Coalition, is adamant that everyone can do something to help prevent it.
So I think the messages to send to the world is that air pollution is a serious threat to your health and the health of your family, that we want people around the world to raise awareness by taking this mass challenge about the fact that air pollution impacts them and their lives. But also, I think that the key part of the air pollution story is that everyone can do something to help prevent air pollution, whether it's from an individual level, whether it's at a local community level, the city level, and of course, national government levels. There are things that can happen. One of the things that we're trying to do this World Environment Day is to ensure that people understand what the solutions are and how they can play their part and how they can work with their governments to play a part, to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And this goes down to everyday things, you know, like better ways of driving your car, or if you have the possibility of switching to lower emissions vehicles, better, or if you can take public transportation or even, you know, human-powered transportation like cycling, that all plays its part. So one of the things we're really trying to do this air pollution is for people to take the mass challenge to show that they are interested in doing something about the problem and then to take steps in their daily lives to do something about the problem.
And that was Tai Chung, an official at the United Nations Environmental Programme's Climate and Clean Air Coalition, speaking there to UN News. The Archbishop of Dublin in Ireland, Dermot Martin, has condemned the level of violence in the capital city in recent weeks and says those who traffic in evil will no longer be able to exploit religious services. Lydia O'Kane reports.
In a strongly worded statement, the Archbishop said violence in the city had taken on an unprecedented level of depravity, with shootings taking place unscrupulously near schools and shopping centres, leaving families terrified and children witnessing brutality that will leave scars on their lives for years. The perpetrators and sponsors of such violence, he said, merit nothing but rejection and disdain. They belong behind bars, and their business of death must be undermined and destroyed. Over the last few weeks, there have been a spate of murders in Dublin. Many are linked to drug gangs operating in the city. It's not the first time the Archbishop of Dublin has expressed his dismay at the level of violence that has affected life in Dublin in recent years. He has spoken about the tragedy of knife violence, especially among young people, and about the violence fostered by the drug cartels. In this latest statement, the Archbishop appealed to anyone who can provide information about what he called this sickening underworld to have the courage and the decency to come forward in the interest of all. Archbishop Martin also appealed to civil and community leaders to show a united and uncompromising response. The Archbishop stressed that where it can be ascertained that individuals hold direct responsibility in this traffic in evil, they will no longer be allowed to exploit religious services in the Archdiocese of Dublin to enhance their image. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
On June the 6th, 1944, more than 150,000 Allied troops invaded the northern French coast, marking the start of France's liberation from Nazi occupiers. D-Day is remembered as a defining moment of World War II, and this year marks its 75th anniversary. Starting Wednesday, the US will attend 2 days of memorials in Britain and France for the anniversary. On the actual day, Thursday, the June the 6th, an event will take place at Colville-sur-Mer in Normandy in the presence of the French and American presidents. Canadian Cardinal Marco Ouellet will be giving a reflection on the need for safeguarding peace tomorrow evening as a prelude to that event in the Basilica of Colville-sur-Mer. He told Vatican Radio he's very happy and motivated to do so.
I am really pleased to go and bear witness of the message of peace of the Catholic Church today in the situation in which we live. Pope Francis insists that we are living in a sort of third world war in pieces. And so we need to do something more to foster a culture of peace, of encounter, of dialogue. And so it is for me an opportunity to bring some deep reflection from the Catholic faith and from the commitment of the Catholic Church in dialogue. You know, since 1968, Pope Paul VI started this day of prayer for peace, the 1st of January. So for 50 years, we've had every year a message, a very concrete message for the education of peace in the Catholic Church, but also and beyond, because it's a message that is not only for the Catholic Church, but it is worldwide, offered to humanity in general. So all these small things should be developed in the school, in family, because a culture of peace, begins within one's heart and one basic relationships in family and then in the schools and in society in general. So if we want to build a future of peace, we need to think of peace not only as an absence of war, but as a positive culture of peace. That means of love, of justice, of fraternity.
And that was Canadian Cardinal Marco Ouellet speaking there to Vatican Radio. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more, you can visit our webpage, you can visit our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. My